We are holding on Kuf Mem Ches Omer Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. The beginning of the line we're going to be going over. Okay, we talked about the Mishnah had said that a Matnas Shchiv Merah, he can change his mind if he recovers. And we talked about the distinction if he gave away some of his Nechassim versus if he gave away all. So, he boiled. So now the Chachamim had a question as follows. Hikdish kol Nechassim, what if he was Makdish all of his Nechassim? So we're not talking about where he gave his Nechassim away as a Matana to some third party. He gave it to Hikdish. But Omad, and later on he recovered. Mahu. Then what would be the din? Is he able to retract it? Miyam rin and kol agave hekdesh gomer makni. Do we say when it comes to hekdesh, unlike a regular matana, we said he gives all of nechassim, then it means he expects to get them back. We have that ugana that we say that he would.
Wait a minute. When you make a neder,
never mind a neder. When you give a matana, when you, a matnas shchivra, he's giving a matana. He's giving a matana that I'm giving away all my nechassim while alive to plan. But the deal is, we say there's an umjana, there's an understanding that he's only doing it because he expects to die soon, and therefore that if it turns out he doesn't, omad ben choizer, he's able to retract it and get it all back. Do we say the same thing applies to hekdesh? Or maybe not. But maybe he only did it on condition. Maybe we have the same umjana. Maybe we have the same that he's doing it only on the understanding that he's about to die. And therefore, if you give a hekdesh al tanai, you can do a hekdesh al tanai. Sure, but that
didn't make
sense. No, but here maybe we apply the same umjana. Maybe it doesn't apply to now.
Maybe something there. No, we should go downstairs. You can go downstairs till 9:30.
Yeah, but then we're
in the back.
So you can break. Okay. If you
I think that should be a better idea.
Better idea. That might be a better idea. Yeah, let's do that. So to continue. Okay. So even if a person said that he wants to give it a hekdesh, fine. But hekdesh can also be based on a tanai, and here maybe there's an implied tanai. So on the one hand, mi amrin and kol lagabe hekdesh gomer makni. Do we say when it comes to hekdesh, he is going to definitively say that no, I'm makdish it. There's no implied tonight. Or duma kol lagabe nafshal gomer makni. Or maybe you could argue, for it involves his own nechassim. Maybe still he's still fine. He's giving it to hekdesh, but he still wants to have something left when he recovers. So maybe not. Maybe there is still that implied tonight that he's only doing it because he expects to die, and therefore if he taka doesn't, then he would be able to take it back from Hekdesh. And you can also ask, Hifker kol nechassim mahu, what about instead of Hekdesh, what if he declared all of nechassim Hefker? There also you could argue that you could argue that he has in mind that he's going to be makne completely, or maybe not. Also, the Rashbam says another possibility. Hefker, in a way, might be even more than Hektish. Hektish, at least, fine. He's concerned with, he wants the mitzvah, at least, of being Machdish. Hefker, maybe, is he doesn't even, he took it completely out of his mind. He says, I don't want to have any hana from it anymore. Do we say because Hefker, by definition, has to be both to Aniyim and Ashirim, which is, by the way, Machlokas, the Shammai Basilo, in Peah, but the halacha is like whether you're able to do Hefker only for Aniyim. The halacha, actually, this is one of the rare cases where Basilo is more Machmer and says that in order for it to be Hefker, it has to be for both Aniyim and Ashirim. And that's the halacha. If you say it's only Hefker for the Aniyim, that doesn't work. Anyway, so Hefker, therefore, is for Aniyim just like Ashirim. Gomer Machni, maybe, therefore, he's willing to be completely Machneh. Or, again, according to the Rashbam's other reason, because he himself is putting it completely out of mind. He obviously doesn't want to have any hanah from it. Ojoma kol legabin nafshei boi gomer Machni. Or still, you could argue, it still involves his own Mechotin. Maybe, after all, he does want them back. He does want them back if he recovers.
If it is
his own nechassim, that's what we're talking about. We're saying that he's giving away his nechassim because he's a shchidmila, but is there still that implied tonight? Is there still that umdana?
I think the question should be more, can you make a tonight on Hekdesh?
You can make a tonight on Hekdesh. Of course you can make a tonight.
You take it back from Hekdesh?
If you say, I'm being Machdesh this out tonight, sure, it's called Hekdesh Tos. We learned about that way back in Nazir. Hekdesh Tos, well, Hekdesh Tos amounts to, in other words, I thought the circumstances were such and such, and since the circumstances turn out to be different, it's not Hekdesh. But tonight amounts to the same thing. If such and such happens, then it will be Hektish. If such and such does not happen, it will not be Hektish. That's a valid thing. Okay, and a third question. What about if instead of Hektish and instead of Hefker, what if he said, I'm giving all my Nechotim to the poor? What would be the deal? Do we say when it comes to Tzedakah, surely because it's an important mitzvah, therefore, we might say that, therefore we say he's for sure Machne, and he doesn't have that implied umdana that he wants it back. Or again, maybe when it comes to himself, maybe he still doesn't want to be completely Machne because he still wants something at the end. And the answer by all three of them is Teku. Okay, we have a Lishna Achrina, which is in parenthesis over here, and there's Marshal and the Bach. Take it out because it's basically just a shortened version of the other one. Hiktish kol mechotzav mau, hifkir kol mechotzav mau, chilek kol mechotzav laniyim mau, and again, teku. One way of looking at it is the difference between it is the previous one, each one is tied to the other in a sort of imtim tzolaymar, even though the Gemara didn't explicitly say imtim tzolaymar. In the second one, we're saying there are three independent questions. One has nothing to do with the other. Anyway, this that we say that all of them are teku, so what does it mean, practically speaking? Is it hektish? Is it hefker, etc.? That you actually have a machlokas between the Rishonim. What do we say about the actual halacha? Do we say that, basically the question is, do we say that Hektish is similar to other dini mominus? Hektish or Hefker or giving to the Aniyim is similar to other dini mominus. If they want to say that they're entitled to, they have to prove, because otherwise he's the mochzik in it, he, the Shchidmara, is the mochzik in it. Or maybe not. Maybe Hektish is different. Maybe it's not similar to Dini Mominus. Maybe it's considered a matter of Isser Veheter, and then you have to be Machmir. Then Adraba, you would say that the default assumption is that Hektish or the Aniyim get it, and if you want it back, you have to, the Shchiv Merah, the former Shchiv Merah, that is, would have to prove that you're entitled to it back. So you actually have a Machloikas, about that is also brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's the Machaber versus the Ramah, ultimately, whether the Shchiv Merah will be able to get it back or not. If I remember correctly, the Machaber says that he can, and the Ramah says that he can't, but I may have that backwards. But yeah. Okay. All right. Omer of Sheshes. Yito v'yizke v'yachzik v'yikne. If the Shchiv Merah uses any of the following terms, aside from we said, up until now we're talking about the Shchiv Merah says such and such should be given deployment. Now we have some other Lashonis that also work. If he says Yitol, he should take it, v'yizke, or he should be zoche in it, the yachzik, or he should be machzik, the yikne, or he should be koine, kulan loshen matonah. And all those are considered a loshen matonah, and all of those therefore work. The masnisa tonah, Braisa teaches us, there are other loshonis you can also use. Af yachzin v'yoras. Two other loshonis that you can use are yachzin, he should inherit it. Yachzin v'yoras, those are two expressions of inheritance. Those two, the Rashbam says the difference is, those two, he'd have to be royally Yorshin. He would have to be somebody who is otherwise capable of Yorshining, for example, one out of his children. and actually not Rashbam, the Gemara says, V'roi liyoshay. Af yachsin v'yoras v'roi liyoshay. If also he says the words yachsin or yoras, which are both expressions of Yerusha, those would work if the person is roi liyoshay. V'Rav Yechon ben Broika, he, and that would be according to Rav Yechon ben Broika, whose opinion we learned several times. This, the concept would be that it works if he says yachsin v'yoras. Oh, that would work only according to Rabbi Yechon ben Broika, which is Takad Halacha. That you're able to use, you're able to favor one child over another. You're able to say that one child should yashin you above all the others. You're able, one son is able to do that above all the others, or one daughter above all the others. Therefore, so according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yechon ben Broika, if Roy the Yosha, there's nothing to talk about. You're not allowed to favor one child over another. But according to Rabbi Yechon ben Broika, you can. So therefore, the words yachsin v'yoras would work with him also. Okay, Iboyalavu. So now we have a question. What about Yehona ben Mai? What if the Shechiv Merai used the expression, he should have Hana from them? What does that mean? Does that mean that he wants it to be a, does that mean that he wants it to be completely a Matana? Or maybe he just means he should have some little Hana from it. It doesn't mean that he means to be Maknehem the whole thing. Also, Yeroi behen mahu. What if he uses the expression Yeroi behen? He should be seen in them. Or Yamud behen mahu. What if he says he should stand in them? Or Yeshoin behen mahu. He should be able to lean on them, like depend on them. Are those considered valid lashonas of matana or not? And the answer again is teiku, which in that case, here everybody agrees that teiku means you can't, it's definitely dinim ominous, so therefore it's a given, the other guy is not going to be able to get it against the other Yoshin because he doesn't have any way of proving that these are valid Lashonis of Matana. But okay, if he was Tofus it, then we wouldn't take it away from him. In the previous case, actually, with the Hekdish and the Aniyim, actually, there's a further Machloikas, I think actually that Amar himself mentions a further Machloikas, even if we say that the Hekdish or the Aniyim can't get it, but if the Aniyim will Tofus it, can we take it back from them? That's a further. But I'm not bringing two different opinions. Yeah, you have two different opinions with it. So you have basically three different opinions. Does it work? Does it not work? Or do we say that even if they were tofus it, they yeah. Okay. All right. Now we have another question. Macha kol nechasim mahu. Till now we've been talking about the shechiv menah gave away all of nechasim. What about if instead he sold all of nechasim? What would be the din? If he recovers. Would we consider that like a matnas shchiv, similar to a matnas shchiv mina? Because otherwise he left himself penniless, or maybe not. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, yes, if he recovers, he taka can't retract. That's it. The sale was a full fledged sale, definitive, and he can't take it back. However, the zimnin amar of Yehuda amar Rav. However, there were other times when Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav im amar choizer that if he recovers, he can take it back. So what is it? The answer is veloy pligi. So veloy pligi. So he's not. There's no contradiction. Hod isnu lozuze beinahu. The one case is talking about where the money still exists. Hod parinu b'chayva. The other case is talking about where he used it to pay off a debt. So the Rashbam says like this, and most of the Rishonim agree with the Rashbam on this. That what it means is, if the money is still there, then obviously he the implication was, okay, so if he recovers, he plans to return the money and get his field back. As opposed to if he used it to pay off a debt, then im omad eini chozer, because that was the point. He wanted to make sure that his debts are paid off before he dies. So then he obviously meant, even if omad, fine, but he still used the money to pay off his debt. So now he has no recourse. The Rimigash and the Ramah understand it the other way around, actually, that if he still has the money, then it's the equivalent of a Shechiv Merah giving some of his Nechasim and keeping some of them. Then if Omad Ein Echoizah, so he still has some Nechasim, and we'll learn on Omad Beis that we'll have a Machloikas Amaroyim over there, whether it's enough that he left himself Karka, or whether it has to be that he left himself Karka, or it's enough also that he left himself Metalkalin. If we say that he can leave himself Metalkalin, here he has a bag full of money, which is Metalkalin. On the other hand, if he used the money to pay off a debt, the fact is he has nothing left. Therefore, the Rimigash and the Ramah understand it to mean then im omad chozer, because the fact is he gave away everything and now he has nothing left. And that was, so then he couldn't retract. The opposite of what the Rashbam would say. Most of the Rishonim hold like the Rashbam, and that's taka how it's brought in halacha. That's okay. If the money still exists, he could retract, but if the money doesn't exist, then he can't. And that's how it's brought in halacha. Now we have another question. What happens if a shivmira admits, during his illness, he admits, he makes a statement that this field or this money actually belongs to Pliny? Now, up until now, we assume that these nechassim did not belong to Pliny. We assume that they belong to the shivmira. Tosfos has a bit of discussion. Actually, Tosfos and other rishonim have a bit of discussion about the details over here. Are we talking about where maybe he's saying that it's a pikadon, that actually belongs to somebody else? Whatever. The point is that we didn't have any reason up until now to think that it belongs to Pliny. All of a sudden, he's saying that it belongs to Pliny. Mahu, what would be the din? So the Rashbam understands the question to be: Do we say that he's saying that it's a genuine statement? It really does belong to Pliny, or maybe he's only saying it because he doesn't want to the shalolash via bana. It's called. We'll learn more about it in Sanhedrin. That's the Shem in a few months. But the concept that maybe he doesn't want to make his children feel like they have this huge inheritance, and then they'll end up spending it too quickly. Maybe therefore he's falsely saying that these nechassim belong to Pliny in order that his children don't, but really they don't belong to Pliny. Really in the end they belong to him and his children are Yashin.
He's saying that because
he doesn't want it to be known before he dies because he doesn't want his children to think that they have a big Yerusha coming to them and they're going to start spending it, or he doesn't want other people to know that his children are rich, whatever. Anyway, that's how the Rashbam explains the question. Tosfos says that the question is not that. You're not going to say over here that last via is one of. That's a different circumstance. Not involving a shivmara necessarily. Or there you're talking about where he said he borrowed money. Here he's talking about that it's a pikadon or something. That's a whole different scenario. Tosfos says.
But it's not.
That's what Tosfos is arguing. It's not the same. Therefore, you can't accept the Rashbam's explanation. So Tosfos rather says that what it means is: do we say that it's considered a matnas shivra, such that in Omar Chozo, such that if he recovers, he can get it back, or is it not considered, or is it considered that the other guy is koneh it completely, the equivalent of a matnas bari, and therefore the shivra won't be able to get it? Because again, you could argue that because the fact is we didn't have any reason to think that this money belongs to Pliny, so maybe it can be considered a matnas shivmara. Maybe he's saying this money really belongs to Pliny is just another way of saying that I want this money to go to Pliny, which is a matnas shivmara. Or maybe not. Maybe we take the hadar at face value. This money didn't belong to him. It belonged to the other guy, and therefore im amadei nechayder. Then that's it. So it's a full fledged kinyan. Then Tosfos brings another explanation also that we're talking about. Let's say that money is pikadon in somebody else's possession. So at some previous time he was masked money by somebody else. Now he's saying that I'm moided that it belongs to Pliny, meaning he's saying this money, which all this time Reuven assumes he's holding on my behalf, really he's holding on Shimon's behalf. Mm-hmm. Again, you can ask, is that a valid transfer? Is that valid that it can be maknet to Shimon just like that, or maybe not? Maybe you need an actual kinyan or mamad shloshton or whatever. Okay, toshma. So come, we can prove it from an interesting story. The isu giyora have a treisa alpi zuze beirava. Isu the ger had 12,000 zuz in Rava's house as a pikadon. So who is this Isu Giyora? We've talked about him before. That at some point one or more of Shmuel's daughters were taken captive by Goyim. One of them was raped by the Goy. She became pregnant from him. So this tribe, later on, though, this Goy himself ended up becoming a Ger, and he's known in the Gemara and here and in various other places as Isu Giyora. She eventually had a son. Her name was Rachel. She eventually had a son, and he's called throughout Shastra Mori Bar Rachel.
From him.
So biologically, it's his child. La halacha, though, this child, it's a classic case of hayrosa shalay b'kedusha v'leidosa b'kedusha. When he was conceived, his father was a goy. When he was conceived, he had no relationship in halacha with his father. Because if the mother was a goy to also, a father and a son, a goyish father and son, are considered to be related to each other in halacha. But since here the son is a Jew, because his mother is a Jew, and the father is a goy, so when he was conceived, this isn't his father. By the time he was born, by the time he's born, the guy was already Nisgaya. But nevertheless, we don't consider it his father. That's the thing. We don't consider, therefore, even though Isur was Nisgaya before Ramari was born, but since he was a goy when Ramari was conceived, then he's not considered Ramari's father, and Ramari is not considered his son.
It's interesting because we're taking from that example the standard conception is prime, and we're saying at the same time that conception is you can abort on conception.
Because basically you go according to the Hadrasa, you go according to when he was conceived. So when he was conceived, his father was
conceived.
If he was conceived, his father was a guy. Right. So therefore, he's not considered to related to his father. That's it.
If you take the standard conception is the main step, then why can you?
Because abortion is a whole different question. That has to do with the question of whether whether it's considered an odd yet. So actually, for Bnei Noach, it is also to do abortions. We'll learn about it in Sanhedrin. That's a shame. For Bnei Noach, it's actually also under any circumstances.
Wow.
For Jews, it's allowed if the mother's life is in danger because the child is considered a roidif. We'll talk about that in Sanhedrin. That's a shame. Anyway, the bottom line is that Isser has this biological son, Rav Mori, but he's not considered his son lahalacha. This son is called throughout Shas Rav Mori bar Rochel after his mother.
Isser is a good name for him.
Okay. Anyway. That was the name he took. Okay. So he had 12,000 zuz that were on deposit by Rav.
Isser.
Now Rav Mori Bray, now Rav Mori, his biological son, this Rav Mori was conceived Shalai B'Kdusha when his father was a goy. He was born B'Kdusha by the time his father had Nisgayer. Ubei Rav Hava, and Rav Mori at the time was in the yeshiva. He was out of town learning in the yeshiva. So Omar Rava. The question is now when Isser died or is about to die, and Rava says, Heichinik Ninu Rav Mori Lahani Zuz. How is Rav Mori supposed to be koine this money? Ibi Yerusha, if you're going to say he yarshins it, can't lav by Yerusha. He's not capable of yarshining because he's not considered related to Isser.
To his biological father.
Yeah. Ibi Matona, yeah, he's considered like a ger for that purpose. Ibi Matona, if you're going to say that he's going to be koineh because Isser can give it to him as a Matona, can't. Matnas Shchivmerah ki Yerusha Shavu Rabbanon, because the Chachamim established that a Matnas Shchivmerah is basically parallel to Yerusha. Therefore, kol heichad the isse be Yerusha, isse be matana. So when there was a capability of Yerusha, then there was a capability of matana. Kol heichad the lesse be Yerusha, lesse be matana. Where there's not capable of being Yerusha, it's not capable, which is this case, and then it's not capable of matana. Now, one second. It's actually very, very complex. It's actually rather complex. The Rishonim have a big problem with this. What do you mean? I mean, a Shchivmer I can give in the chosim to some guy off the street who's not capable of yashining him. Why should we say it's so you have a few different approaches over here. The Rambam's approach of it is that we don't say this across the board. We say specifically when we're talking about a father trying to be modish to his son. If you given that a son who was born like this is not considered his father's son, he's not considered his biological father's son. If you're going to allow a matnas shchivmerah, then effectively what you're doing is you're bypassing, you're using that as a loophole to override the halachas about what such a son is and isn't to his father. And you can't do that. To do it to a stranger or to do it to somebody else, fine. Because you're not making it look like you're trying to override the din of Yerusha.
Why can't he just give the matana to his wife and his wife?
Because his wife, the pashtus, was already dead. But I don't know. Anyway, so okay. But the pashtus, his wife, was already dead. Anyway, so that's one way of looking at it, is that we're not saying in general that you can't give a matana shchivmerah out to somebody who can't yarshin you. We're talking specifically over here where it's a father and son. Many other Rishonim take different approaches on it, including that maybe the problem is, Tosfos discusses, maybe the problem is that a ger essentially doesn't have anybody who can yarshin him, unless he had other children after he became a ger, which in this case he didn't. He only had the one son, Rav Mori. So therefore, he himself is not capable of being modish to others. Therefore, he can't be modish via matana either. Nothing to do, in other words, with father and son. It just has to do with the fact that at this point, he himself has no other yoshim who could be valid yoshim. And therefore, the whole concept of Yerusha doesn't apply to him. You have the Ravid has an explanation of it that the problem is on Rav Mori's side. Rav Mori, at this point in history and at this point in his life, doesn't have anybody who's capable of that, who he's capable of yoshining from. Again, if he himself was married and had children, fine. He's capable of yarshining from his own wife or his own son. So therefore, by the way, you could extend that and say he could yarshin via matana from Isser. But because at this point, Rav Mori himself, not through his wife, since he's able to yarishin from his own children, like any yid can yarishin from his children if his children die while he's alive, therefore instead he's able to yarishin via matana from Issus. Even though he can't yarishin via Yerusha, because there's no relationship, but he could yarishin via matana. But since Rav Mori, this is how the Raivad understands it, since Rav Mori himself is not in a position at this point in his life, he has nobody at this point in his life who he can yarishin from, because he doesn't have any children, and he's not married yet, he doesn't have any children. If you said he's in Beirat, he's a yeshiva bachur. Then therefore, you can't say that the only person that he could be yarish via matana from would be his father, who's not really a father. So that's another way of looking at it. You have a number of approaches among Rishonim, what exactly the problem is over here with doing it via Matana over here. But whatever it is, it doesn't work. If he has no Yodesh, then everything is free for the taking. Okay. Ib Meshicha. So Rava continues, should Ramori be able to acquire these 12,000 zuzim via Meshicha? Can't. Less new gabe. They're not here. They're not by him. The money is here in Mechuzah, where Rava lived. Ramori is away in Yeshiva. Bachalifin, are you going to say you can be koine via chalifin? Can't in mape and nikna bachalifin. You can't be koine coins via chalifin. We learned that back in Bava Metzia, yeah. E agav karka, you're going to say that Issur can be makna the 12,000 zuz to Rav Mori, namely you'll be makna him a piece of karka, and along with it will go the 12,000 zuz, and that works even if the money is not on the actual karka, as we learned before. Also doesn't work. Less le'ara, Issur has no land. Are you going to say that he can be koined via Maimad Shloshton? We'll gather the three parties together, Issur, Rav Mori, and Rava. And Issur will tell Rava, this money that's in you, that you have right now, it's a pekodin of mine, should go to Rav Mori. Rava says, in that case, Ishalach li loyal zilna. Okay, but if he tells me to come, I'm not obligated to come. Which actually gets into, there's an interesting machlokas we're showing him on this. Does that mean that Maimad Shloshton can't work without his consent? Maybe does it need, if you have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi together, and Reuben says to Shimon, this money that you owe me, give to Levi, what if Shimon doesn't agree to that? Can it be done against his will or not? One way, based on this Gemara, maybe yes, because Rava is saying, I don't have to go, implying that, in other words, this can't be done without my will. But it's not a chus for Shimon. Shimon is the one who's now going to have to pay Levi instead. It's not as close for him. In this case, it's not as close for Rava either. He's going to have to take the money and give it to Ramari. I don't know. It's a slave thing. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way that Ashba talks about is maybe indeed it could be done against his will, but Rava is saying, the fact is, if I were to go to Issu's house and we were to do this Maimad Shloshtan of a thing over there, and he would ask me point blank to do it, I would be embarrassed to tell him to his face, no, I'm not going to do it. But to not come in the first place, that I have the ability to do. I'm not obligated to come to his house, L'chila. So therefore, on the face of it, in other words, Rava is saying, it seems that this money should be able to belong to me. I shouldn't have to give it to Ramari. But now, actually, we will break from Meiriv, and whoever is able to rejoin us after Meiriv will talk about how could Rava do such a thing? How can he take money that by rights is supposed to go to Ramari and try to keep it for himself? So we will see. This is Rava we're talking about. This isn't some guy off the street. There's good reasons behind what Rava is doing, but we will talk about it after Meiriv.